there was not a whole lot that was said, frankly. In a lot of the questions that were asked, there weren't answers because they didn't have the answer to the question yet. And one of them had to do with the offensive coordinator spot moving forward. And I'll play you that in a second. But for starters, we've talked about what we think went wrong this entire 2025 season. And there's a long list. And at the top of the list, we yesterday went through some of those items. Here's what Andy Reid said went wrong in 2025.
We had 10 or so games that were determined by, you know, 7 points or less, you know, one score. And so, and those were the 7 we won last year. Well, why? You got to go back and you look at penalties in crucial situations, turnover in crucial situations, you know, those things. You got to really evaluate those and the whys of that. Drop balls, long drives, including everybody, the end of game drives, that you could have either scored on or were scored on, or special teams put you in a position. You got to look at all those things. And so that's a part of the evaluation process, going into the off season, make sure we narrow that thing up and make sure we're on the right end of it.
So I understand he wasn't going to answer the question, say, you know what?
Here's all the things we screwed up and are bad at.
Our scheme sucked this year. We should have had better running backs. Like, I wasn't expecting that. Okay. Nobody's going to say that publicly. I just hope that the way it started is, I told you, my biggest fear. And I still think the fact that they bottomed out and only won 6 games is probably why it won't be the case. But when he started immediately talking about, like, you know, the 7 one-score games, you know, and last year we won the 1-score game thing. It is not that simple. It is not just that, look, we some bad breaks last year. We got them this year. We did. It is. No, that is not what happened.
If you want to say that publicly, just to make yourself feel good, that better not be your internal messaging.
And I don't think it is. I think look, these guys have been around long enough. Like, I don't think it is. And he's never going to throw anybody under the bus publicly. So I don't think that, but admittedly, when I heard that, I said, oh no, hopefully that's not actually how they feel.
I do think, but here's part of the problem is, I hope it's not his entire thing, like really not his entire thing, but I do think there's a deep part of Andy who thinks and believes some of the stuff he says about we're not that far off. Because the truth is, this team was not good enough, they didn't have enough talent. But that's the problem. Gold, go back through the games. They were close in so many football games this year. They were all coming down to these final possessions, final moments, everything outside of it. And so they probably do genuinely kind of believe we were just a half step short, and they do get to still lean on the previous years. And I'm a little surprised at the fan sentiment that, like, what makes you think Andy Reid can fix this? Knowing, again, the success they had the previous 6 years in a row, I'm surprised at how quickly the fans are like, he'll never change. I'm like, I've seen him make changes. I've seen him change defensive coordinators. I've seen him change offensive systems a little bit. I think he's a little slow on the uptick this time in the running game and these other things. But I've told you, I still think the reasoning behind that is because they were having success the entire lead up to. I like to think that there's no way Andy can do this. But I will say, considering his age, considering where he is in his career, how old Patrick Mahomes is, and how much time they still have left with him, I am not going to forgive status quo all of next year. They come in next year and they're doing the same. We run every play at a shotgun. We don't operate an efficient offense. We don't do things creatively. We don't invest in running back. Now I'm going to have something to say for Andy Reid about, hey, this is unacceptable. And I will ask the question about, has the game passed you by? I think it's too early for 1 year.
Well, yeah. Well, but I mean, just got to see how the offseason plays out. I mean, I think their actions will tell us if there's truly going to be a shift. And a lot of it is getting the first stuff we see is a front office based offseason move with the free agency and trades, if there are any, and certainly the draft and everything like that. I mean, if they suddenly are investing in running back, that automatically is a good sign that, you know, they were able to recognize what I think is very obvious, which is where the league has trended at running back and how they're behind and where the league has gone at that position and how teams value that position. And I think that area, I actually do believe there's just no way around it. Like, they, whether it's free agency or the draft, they're investing in running back this offseason, one way or the other. I know we have our preference maybe of, if it's free agency versus draft, and there's some of you listening that want them to spend the ninth overall pick on Jeremiah Love. There's some of you that want them to sign Breece Hall, like whatever the path is, I think they're investing some form or fashion clearly in running back. They just simply have to. Like these guys also, as much as we can be critical, they're also not idiots. Okay. So that thing, that is like such an obvious thing for them this offseason. I know you and I thought last offseason they should have invested more, but like after bottoming out,
yeah.
I don't think there's any way you could just think, oh, we don't need to put many resources into running back now.
It seems fairly simple that the adage of the offseason for Andy Reid should be, how can I make things easier for Patrick Mahomes? Because I still think Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in the NFL. And even if you don't, even if you're some national guy who's decided he's not the best quarterback in the NFL, he's still a top five quarterback in the NFL. And so the last couple of years have been, how hard can we make it for Mahomes? Can we give him a really bad offensive line or a terrible running game or no wide receivers and just see if he can do it? They should be spending this offseason. This goes back to the draft, which we can have longer conversations about as time goes on. Which is why I would be tempted by Carnell Tate or some of the other top wide receivers at nine. Yep. Because when are you going to be picking there again? And you should be making things easier for Patrick Mahomes. They're getting a little bit harder this offseason if Travis Kelce retires. So that's already part of the equation. Get him a running back. Get him a wide receiver. You know, like that's actually, again, the offensive line. Make some things easier for him.
That's the area that I'm actually, if you're asking like, what am I most confident they're willing to change? It's actually that, because when Andy Reid and the way they run their offense, and how many times do we say, you know, whether it's under center or, hey, your offense needs to feed off, you know, go off a play action. Well, if there's no running game, nobody's going to honor that.
Nope.
I think they recognize that. And for this offense to work moving forward, they are going to have some semblance of a running game. So I actually think that's the area I'm most confident in change. Maybe they're not going to make the staff changes you want. Maybe they're not going to, you know, draft the guy you want necessarily. But in terms of just, does the run game have to be more a part of this offense, and do they have to have some explosiveness there? I actually think that's the area they'll improve the most. I disagree with this one text, though. 913-586-7965. Someone says, hey, what Andy Reid said wasn't false. The team was real close to 11 wins. He needs changes need to be made, but saying it what he said wasn't true is just dumb. I'll push back.
And he lies all the time.
This team was not close to 11 wins. Sorry, I just firmly disagree. They were not.
Pretty far away. They're pretty close to like 8 or 9 wins. I'll give them that.
Saying this team was close to being 11-win team, that's denial. That's what you just texted, with all due respect. If that's how they're thinking, then they're in big trouble heading into 2026. You cannot, real close. Now, this team is not the Tennessee Titans or something where that far. Can they bounce back and be a 12-win team next year? Absolutely, with the right moves. But this year's team, this roster, this staff was not close to winning 11 games. I'm sorry, that is denial.
The good news is for them, they have the fourth most pending free agents. So like the roster turnover was going to happen in a natural sense anyway. They have their highest draft pick in their franchise since they selected number one overall, I'm guessing, with Eric Fisher. Can't imagine they picked number nine since that amount of time. So a good chance to reload. And once they finagle their cap, which they will inevitably do, they will have cap space. I understand right now, if you look at the projected cap as it sits right now with the players on the roster, the Chiefs are projected to be negative $40 million, the worst in the NFL. I'll just tell you, and the people who understand and know the cap will tell you the Chiefs situation is about league average.
We like Joel Corey on. He's a former NFL agent. He kind of explained that.
Yeah, they'll be fine. There's a lot of maneuverability in their cap number right now, including both Chris Jones and Patrick Mahomes and others who are like under contract, but don't have to be under contract. Guys like Jawan Taylor. You're going to save almost all of the money that you were short on the cap right now simply just by moving on from Jawan Taylor and letting Jalen Moore take over the reins. And so they're not in a bad spot, but it's like, I don't want, because my fear is, if it's not about some of this other stuff that we'll talk about later in the show. It's that if they go through another season like this, Gold, and it's 8 wins and they miss the playoffs or 9 wins. I'm going to kind of start rooting for Andy to retire. And I don't know how easy it's going to be. We go back to the Travis Kelce thing. I don't know how easy it's going to be for Andy Reid to be like, yep, that's good. Call it a career. Back-to-back miss the playoff seasons after all those Super Bowl runs. We still think it's what, 3-4 years maybe of Andy? Or are you starting to think it's maybe on the shorter end of that because of this
year? We've been saying 3 or 4 years for 5 years, you know, for 3 or 4 years.
Two or three?
My guess, years you got, you if you set left? The over under on 2.5, I'd still take the over. But if you started to set at 3.5, I'd take the under.
Okay. So you're thinking about three years, two to 3 years is probably the range. And that probably feels about right. And I want Andy, and look, I don't know, we'll have this conversation probably for the first time in years, not when Mike Flory was trying to have it 3 years ago. But, you know, going into the season, if they finished the season and won the Super Bowl and everything magical happened, I would be very tempted if I were Andy Reid to step away and call it a great career. But he also strikes me as the kind of person who, this has been Andy Reid's entire life, his entire life. He will not know what to do. This all goes back to his wife and everything else, too. He's reportedly have conversations where, like, she doesn't want him to work till he's 80 years old. So don't want him being Bill Belichick in 76 and still coaching. So we'll see.